SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The Indigenous Literacy Foundation has just won the Astrid Lindgren Memorial Award 2024, the largest children's literature prize in the world. And I'm joined by Ben Bowen, Indigenous Literacy Foundation CEO, to explore the significance of this prestigious acknowledgement. Ben, first of all, congratulations on winning such a coveted prize and welcome to NITV Radio.
Thank you very much, and thank you more so for having us.
As I just mentioned in the introduction, the Indigenous Literacy Foundation has just won this important award, the largest in the world for children's literature. Can you tell us about the significance of winning such a highly coveted prize for the Indigenous Literacy Foundation and the work that you do?
Yeah, this is it's a global award, and it's one of the biggest for those outside the book industry. It is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, for children's publishing. So it's a really exciting time for the Indigenous Literacy Foundation to be in the hot seat as a winner. It's very much unexpected for us, as we are just a tiny little charity in Australia operating, and it goes to show the strength of the 427 different communities that we partner with to publish stories in languages and also get literacy material out to them.
Yeah, the award citation mentions the importance of all people's languages and stories. Can you elaborate on why this is such a vital part of the Indigenous Literacy Foundation's mission?
We honestly talked for a very long time now about the challenges of literacy in remote communities, and there's this concept that there is very poor literacy specific to our communities, and it's really not a case of a lived experience. And what we find is our kids may speak three or four, or even sometimes over 10 different languages before English, and we want to celebrate that strength and that ability for them. And part of the challenges a lot of communities have is our languages have been oral historically, and to write them down has been a challenge, and to publish them into reading material even harder. And now the work of the ILF in those partnerships with those communities is securing that bilingual resource, and also even working with some languages which have been termed at risk. But, you know, we find so many strong speakers and educators within those communities that can write books fluently in language and bring these things back to life so that the future generations can access their languages and culture.
Now, your organization works with remote communities. What are the unique challenges that you encounter in bringing literature to these communities?
They are huge. Anyone that's very aware of Australia, you know, I tell this story often that it took my wife less time to fly from Sydney to London than it took me to fly to a community in WA from Sydney. And, wow, you know, a lot of the resources we do send in arrive by a combination of aeroplane, boat, train, and even push bikes to get into these communities. And the partner that we do have, which is Australia Post, is key to us on these things, because the logistics and the challenges of getting any resources into some of these remote communities are just humongous is the only way you can explain it. And the way that we try to resource these communities is not about any resources reaching them. It's about resources that they're requesting and that are helping them achieve their aspirations. So the logistics can be terrifying, and we often do get requests for photographs or videos or what it takes to get these books into those communities. But a lot of the time we can't even get cameras to these places, let alone film the live situation.
Sounds almost unbelievable that it could be facing such logistical challenges in Australia in 2024. Your organization is community-led. How does your approach ensure that the literacy resources that you provide are culturally relevant and meet the needs of the communities you serve?
Yeah, look, everything we do is community-led, and it's beyond just a statement on a piece of paper for us. It's actually a lived mission, and what we aim to do is we never step foot into a community until we are requested to be there.
Yeah.
We work on the projects those communities would like, and then when we're resourcing a program like our book supply program, which does supply over 130,000 books each year to 400 communities,
these books may be a range of subject types or themes or even languages, and we get communities that, you know, may speak Creole who are requesting Pitjantjatjara or a different language or a language that is related to some families. And what it's showing is there's this huge hunger, and these communities are highly consuming these content pieces to explore what literacy and the wider world around them. So we find this real excitement around this sort of stuff, and trying to find out what's culturally relevant is not necessarily just representation of a Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander culture. It's sometimes representations more broad. So an example of this was a book for us is No Way Yirrkapi, which is around in Tiwi Islands around a crocodile the kids wrote. And we had a community thousands and thousands of kilometres away that requested to work on a book like that. And to us, it didn't make much sense. But when we sat down with community and started to listen to what they wanted, they were telling us that their relationship to their country and ancestral lines went back to an ancient crocodile that has no longer exists in that part of the world. But they have that connection to the story and the fossils and all that piece. So by bringing a current story from another part of the world, they were able to reinvigorate their cultural knowledge specific to their country and engage their kids to learn their country and language as well.
Yeah, it sounds like it's very well catered for the communities. Now, the ALMA Award includes a very high prize. I think it's the largest prize of its kind for literature for children in the world. How does the Indigenous Literacy Foundation intend to use these funds to further the mission of the organisation and its work?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. We weren't expecting to win, so I haven't tied the budget specifically to this money yet. But, I mean, we're governed, as I said, community-led, and everything we do is raised and requested by community. So for us, we have a principle that We don't just turn up at a community uninvited. We don't turn up once and never turn up again. We engage a community on a long-term relationship of a number of years.
Yeah.
This significant win is going to enable us to further that mission of not turning up for 2 or 3 years. We will be entering conversations with our communities about what we can achieve in the next 5 to 8 years. And, you know, that significant relationship and building that trust and respect is what this money will bring us. Which will allow these communities to turn around more projects and get their languages published globally and celebrated and validated in the way they should be.
Now, winning this prestigious awards really shines a light on the importance work that the Indigenous Literacy Foundation does for the community. Now, what message do you hope that winning this award sends to other organisations involved in Indigenous literacy, not only in Australia, but globally as well?
I think the tide is not just turning, but has really turned on this stuff. So, I mean, in Australia, we are one or two generations really away from language being shunned as official policy and young people not being allowed to learn their languages, to the work that we're doing in partnership with our communities now, where our kids are actively publishing commercial projects and elders are publishing these commercial projects that are being celebrated, that are bringing language back to life. And this is the piece that we're looking at, is going, how do we create more opportunities around our communities and more broadly around the world to explore how communities, Indigenous communities in particular, want to move forward into the world and how they want to use assets and commercial publishing is just one of those assets. So communities around the world are predominantly, there's a large number of us that are oral language holders. we have very little written resources, and it is a new skill, it is a new market for us. That has to be shared somehow, and the resources and the skills to bring that to life. And we've shown through the ILF that there is not only an Australian market for this, but there is a global market and interest, and that's what this ALMA award is really holding up, that, you know, this is not just a local product. This is something that the world is ready for. And the world is interested in what Indigenous people from around the world are wanting to tell.
Now, you work in partnership and collaboration with various other organisations and stakeholders. Can you tell us about the importance of these partnerships in achieving the goals and missions of the Indigenous Literacy Foundation?
We are an organisation of 30 people. We are tiny, and simply to support the literacy of 427 different communities, you know, it's impossible to do on our own. And we have amazing ambassadors and board and volunteers and our community partners as well, that, you know, communities give up their time and their expertise and support us in logistics and all those sort of things. So there's so many, I'd say, invisible pieces of work that get done to ensure the ILF can do its work. And We're not government funded. We actually get our funding from individuals and corporations and organisations, so that we can continue to work in partnership and really respond to what these communities are asking us for. And it's really important to sort of celebrate. And it's what we're talking about, that, you know, yes, the ILF is the laureate for 2024, but, you know, everyone who is involved with us, you know, the volunteers, the community partners, the, you know, every other organisation, donor, the staff of old, the, you know, the board, ex, everyone, they are all the laureate this year, because it is impossible to do the work we do as a staff of 30. It is nowhere we can actually explain to be able to achieve the impact that these projects have.
And one particular person I can think of that would be very proud of ILF's achievement is NITV's Natalie Armat.
Nat is an absolute superstar in our chair as well. And, you know, and this is the thing, we feel privileged to have people like Nat Armat on there, and, you know, Jackie Payne, who's the chair with, shares the chair roles with her. And, you know, having strong Black representation at all levels of our organisation, from the board to organisation to leading all the decisions, it is just critical for us to have that. And, you know, for us to be able to even steal some of their time shows the value of the ILF.
Ben Bowen, CEO of Indigenous Literacy Foundation, congratulations again on winning the world's most coveted literacy awards and prize for children's literature. And thanks a lot for joining us on NITV Radio today.
Thank you so much for having me.